If you'll take your Bible with me this morning and turn to the book of Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 this morning. Romans chapter 15, and I want to read one verse this morning, exciting verse, encouraging verse. It's verse number 13. Paul is coming to the close of this great book that God has inspired by the Holy Spirit and given him to write. Speaks of sin, speaks of salvation, speaks of a Savior, speaks of victory that we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ and live a life that glorifies God. And he comes down to chapter 15, and as he's coming to the end of this letter that he's written, we come to verse number 13, and what a verse it is, which sums it all up for us, if you will. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, we just pray this morning that your word would speak to our hearts, be just a blessing, a strength, and encouragement to us. And we'll thank you and praise you and trust you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, if you look around, you can get pretty discouraged and pretty depressed pretty quickly, can you not? All right, we'll start again. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15 and let's rework this. You know, last night, I usually sleep right through the night till the morning. Last night, it was uniquely different it was a first time experience in life. I woke up out of just a dead sleep. I woke up at 1:45. And for the next 15 minutes, I lay there in bed with my cell phone. And I watched as it went to 1:46, 1:47, 1:48, 1:49, 1:50, and then it skipped 2 o'clock. Because that's the moment when it turns 1 hour, and it went right from 1:59 to 3 o'clock. And at that moment, I realized I watched 1 hour of my life just slip away. I don't want it back. I realized most years I just sleep through it. And I know why, because it was pretty boring. No lights went off, no flashes, but just an hour just slipped away. And, you know, people get all worried about that and everything. But, you know, life can get pretty discouraging sometimes. I saw on the computer this news video, and it was comical, but it must have been very discouraging for the man. For in Melbourne, Australia, there was a man, and at night he went on the street downtown, if you can imagine this, he cut a hole in the plate glass window of a jewelry store. And then for the next 3 hours, can you imagine this? For the next 3 hours, he took two different fishing rods. The first one didn't work. He lost a hook. But he took this fishing rod, he put it through the hole, and he fished in the window of a jewelry store. And this is true. Until he caught a $700 Varashi. How do you say it? One of those expensive necklaces. And for 3 hours, and he finally got one, and he stole it. But can you imagine how discouraging and depressing it must have been when I don't know the rest of the story, but just imagine. He brings it home and gives it to his wife, and she says, "Yeah, hon, I saw it all over the internet." She says, "I saw how you got that necklace." And because it was a security camera right there that caught the guy. And it wasn't one that was blurry. I mean, they caught this guy, and I mean, everybody could recognize who he was, fishing for a necklace in the middle of the night. And that's got to be a discouraging way to live, right? But you know, here's the thing. You can look around and you can get discouraged, you get depressed, but in Romans chapter 15, God says something different. He says, He is the God of hope, right? Look at verse number 13. Now the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of times we look at the names of God, we think of God and his holiness, his power, his love, all the names of God. But here in Romans chapter 15, as Paul has written this whole letter, this whole epistle that speaks from sin and that we're all guilty and we stand judged before God, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, we're saved, we're justified. And how can we live? And we know we live through the Spirit of God. And then he says, the God of hope. You know, you can look around and you get discouraged, but boy, I tell you what, this week as I looked around, God just encouraged me greatly. You know, you go down the hospital and there's Brooke and Austin. And I mean, you know, I didn't have a chance to go down this morning and see John and Rebecca, but at some point I will. But you know, you walk into a hospital room and here's a young couple that loves the Lord and they got a new life. And they're just so excited. Austin does, listen, pray for Austin. He's asking the nurse when the baby can eat steak already. All right? So, yeah, you know, but all excited. But you know, when a new life and they realize that God has given them the miracle of a new birth, a new child, a new life as theirs, you know? On Friday night, my wife and I went over to a Stonington Institute with Steve and Nancy and Greg and what a blessing it was, you know. And sometimes we don't, y'all and I, we don't get to see the hope in these ministries. And what a blessing it was, as there had to be, well, they set up chairs in the back, so there had to be over 25 people that are struggling in life, and yet they came in with one purpose. They came in to hear the Word of God. And I mean, they just heard the Word of God. And they're sitting, and man sitting on this side of me, man sitting on this side of me, and they're just eagerly listening to the Word of God be taught to them. And then we start to go out, and met this lady, and she's a resident there, and she all of a sudden comes back with this man and says, what was his name, Steve? But she comes back and says, this man wants to be saved. I mean, he didn't come to church, but he came in. She says, this man wants to be saved. So I said, Steve, it's your ministry, man. You guys go and lead the guy to the Lord. And then to come to find out in this facility, in this ministry, this lady's only been there for a few times. In the short period when she's been there trying to get victory in her life, she's led like five people to the Lord already. And so I found out where she's from, and I gave her the name of a good church in that area, and I'm going to call the pastor and said, listen, if this lady calls, you connect with her. But praise the Lord, that's the God of hope, man. And that in the midst of people that are struggling with difficulties, that God is still using them to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, many of you folks, you parents, you look at your kids and you say, really, the God of hope? Have you seen my kids? Well, let me tell you, when I look at your kids, I know there's hope because I remember you. I do. I look and you know, I go through the school or Awana or I see the cars pull up at the end of the day and I just rejoice because I'm looking from my perspective, I tell you what, I thank the Lord for that line of cars and I thank the Lord for you parents because, I just say, you know what? There is a God of hope. And then you look at the kids, and I know you teachers, you struggle, you wonder when the day is going to end, and if you wonder if this little kid is ever going to learn to behave or respect you or anything else, and then they come up and give me a note of apologies, says, dear pastor, I'm so sorry, I look and I see what God's doing in the life of these young people. You know, these four girls standing up here this morning. And then I got to tell you, I go, Danny playing the piano, and listen, if you're scheduled to play the piano and Danny gets on that piano, sorry, you lose. He just wants to play the hymns and love the Lord. And in chapel, he plays, and it's exciting, you know, and Levi just doing anything he can. And Finally gave you an usher's badge. That's good. All right. And then Thursday night, you know, I got to tell you, Thursday night, I tell you what, Jared gets up and preaches at Willimantic Baptist Church. Amen. And here's the blessing of that. He gets up and preaches because they're doing fine arts this week. And so he figured good place to practice is Willimantic Baptist Church. And they loved it. But here's how God is a God of hope. That young man gets up and gives just a short 9 minute and 48 second message. It's got to be 10 minutes by Thursday. But anyways, got to get a few more seconds. We got to read a few more verses, okay? We got to get it up to, got to get within the boundary. So we got to read all the book of Revelation right in the middle of it. But I tell you what a miracle it was. Not only that Jared was able to preach, but a man that gets saved out of a life of drugs on Pearl Street comes up to me afterwards, puts his hand on my shoulder, points to that young man in the pulpit, and says, one day I want to do that. Amen. That's the God of hope. That's the God of hope. But here in Romans 15, it's so personal. Look what it says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, I got to tell you one more that really just, I'm still just in amazement at God, that God is such a God of hope. For on Thursday morning, and usually on Thursday morning or Monday morning or Thursday morning after I preached on Sunday and Wednesday, I'm not necessarily around here or anything. But Thursday morning I came down and purposely just to putter on the skid steer out there and it was giving me some problems with the engine and overheating. So I said, well, I'll come down and work on it. So I came down Thursday morning and I was talking with Joe and we were talking about the radiator. And Joe says to me, he says, well, you just need to get some radiator flush and put it in and flush the radiator and see if it works. So I said, all right. So I said, I'm going to go to Walmart and get some radiator flush. I specifically said to Joe and I said to myself, I am going to Walmart to get some radiator flush. I didn't say AutoZone. I didn't say car. I said Walmart. I didn't say Target. I didn't say Home Depot. I said Walmart. I'm going specifically to Walmart to get some radiator flush. So I get in my truck and I'm about to leave. And I said, well, before I do that, I'm going to swing by the school and get a cup of coffee and just say hi to everybody and just walk in. And so I go into the office to get a cup of coffee and the phone rings. And Erica picks up the phone and at first she thought it was Nano calling for me, but it wasn't Nano. But she says, Pastor, there's someone on the phone for you. So I pick up the phone in her office and I start talking to this man. And he starts telling me, he says, Pastor, will you come talk to me? He says, I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. Would you please come talk to me? And I said, sure. I says, where are you at? Where are you? Guess where he was? Walmart. He was at Walmart. Guess where he had been? Bangor, Maine. Guess where he was going? Florida. And on a Thursday morning, he's outside Walmart calling Lakes Palm Baptist Church, wanting a pastor to talk to him that is on his way to Walmart. By the way, I get the radiator flush too. But you know, I sat down with that man. I sat down with him. I took him out for lunch. It's always a good thing to take someone out to lunch. So I took him out to lunch. I sat down for about an hour and a half with that man. And just talk to him about the Lord, talk to him about that he could have hope through Christ. Went back and told him how even men of God like Elijah got discouraged and depressed, and God brought them through it. Told him about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he could have a personal relationship and know Jesus Christ as Savior. Told him how he could know the Lord and the Lord could bring him through. And specifically told him, listen, I told him, I says, William, you have got to understand one thing. God cares enough, so much about your soul personally, that he orchestrated all of this to show you how much he cares and he wants to give you hope. Now, the man didn't get saved that morning, but I know he's going to. I just know he's going to. And somewhere along the way, either he's going to call me up and tell me he did, or he's going to get to glory and tell me he did. But that's the God of hope. That's the God of hope, folks. And too many times we're just simply looking around at what's going on outside, and there's no hope out there. There's no hope out there. But God says he is the God of hope. But this is personal. Look what it says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. But I want to focus on the last part of that. How does God do this? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power. There's the difference. There's the difference in the life of a believer, in the life of a child of God. The book of Ephesians says a person without Christ is without hope. But God, the God of hope, says he will fill us with peace and joy in believing that you may abound in hope. And he says, through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I simply want to give you 3 points this morning, and pardon me for my weakness in homiletics today, but they're P's, okay? All right? Everybody says, well, you use P's too much. Yeah, it's just easy. All right? It's just easy and works. But you know, the first one is this, that God and Jesus Christ promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Go back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 for a moment. John chapter 7. First of all, there was a promise. And listen, every promise of God is true. Amen? Every promise of Christ is true. And one of the promises we just need to be reminded of and refreshed about is that Jesus Christ promised us something that would make a difference in our life, someone that would make a difference in our life. And it's the Holy Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. Look at John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, in verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. In other words, he shouted this out. He spoke with a loud voice. He wanted everybody to get this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I like that. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not just a little bit. But what does Paul say? That we would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But look at verse number 39, because here's explained for us. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Very interesting, by the way, as we'll see in a moment, that in verse number 35, it says, he spake of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. And it uses the word Spirit. But then it says this, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You know why the difference is used there in the words in the English language? It's the same Greek word. But see, there's a difference. There's a significant difference there when you read in your Bible and it uses the word Holy Spirit. The emphasis there is on that this Spirit is the Spirit of God. That is nothing else but the Spirit of God, nothing less than the Spirit of God. It is only one thing. It is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. And when it uses the word Spirit, it's focusing on the fact that it is God's Spirit. It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. That's important. So when you read through and you're reading through and it says the Spirit, the emphasis is on that it's God, that it's God's Spirit. But here's the beautiful thing. And when they translated into English, they were careful about this, because they wanted to be reminded of this, understand this. when it uses the phrase the Holy Ghost, the emphasis there, the point there, is that the Spirit of God is indwelling the child of God. Every time when you read the Holy Ghost, all right, that's pointing to the fact that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, is in the believer. It's pointing to the indwelling of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. So when you read that, when you read through it, notice that difference. It's important as you read through the Bible. But we're given the promise that the Spirit of God would come and indwell us, the Holy Ghost. In fact, it's interesting, Matthew 28, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to his disciples? Go into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, right? And then what does it say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and what's the next one? Holy Ghost. You know why? Because the emphasis is, if that Holy Spirit's not in you, you don't have Christ. But when that Spirit is in you, you have Christ. You are of Christ. And it says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The evidence of Christ in me is through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so John chapter 7, go over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we won't go through all of these, but look at John chapter 14 and verse number 26. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. And so the Lord once again says, the Comforter, which means to come alongside, right? That's what the word Comforter means, to come alongside, to be a help. But Jesus said, that Comforter that I'm going to send from the Father, he is the Holy Ghost, which is not only going to be alongside, he's going to be within you. That's why when the Bible says, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, because he indwells us. And so first of all, and we could go to a number of other scriptures, but first of all, there's a promise. The promise is given. In fact, turn back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Because this just goes right into the next point. The promise of the Spirit, or the promise of the Holy Ghost, is fulfilled in you and me by the presence of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost within us. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 4. After he showed himself alive, after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he told them, he says, you go back to Jerusalem, you wait for the promise of the Father, the promise of the Father that he would send another Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that will come to you. And Acts chapter 2 tells us about that. Acts chapter 2, it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, you read through the book of Acts and Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. The church, the people, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what that means is they were indwelt. The Holy Spirit of God came and lived within them. And folks, that's what makes the difference in our lives. It's not you, it's not me, it's the living Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice as it is taught through the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, First Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to notice the emphasis is on God. All right? Look at verse number six. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Where's the emphasis? Not on Apollos, not on Paul, not on me. God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the emphasis in this passage of Scripture is on that it's God that's doing the work. It's God that gives the increase. We can go hand out the gospel. We can preach the gospel. We can water the gospel. We can pray. But it's God that saves. It's God that gives the increase. And so when you come down to down through 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice what it says. Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And so it says we're the temple. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's having us understand that it is the Spirit of God that dwells in us. The emphasis in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is making us understand it's nothing short of the Spirit of God that lives within you. But now when you come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the emphasis in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is on you and me desiring and being able to live a holy life, to glorify God. Look at verse number 20. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so the emphasis in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is on you and I, as we live a holy life, it glorifies God. But how? We'll go back one verse and notice the difference in the emphasis. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? And now, while the emphasis of this teaching is on the fact that our lives should glorify God with holiness and purity, it says, but understand this, that the only way it'll happen is not because of you and not because of your flesh, but because the Holy Ghost indwells you. You are not your own. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost indwells you. And so when you come over to the book of Romans, I want you to notice something. I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. All right? Because up until Romans chapter 5, Paul has been just teaching and writing, first of all, about the doctrine of sin, that we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, no. We all stand guilty before God. But then that precious gift of salvation that comes through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we come down to Romans chapter 4. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And then you come to Romans chapter 5. And now it speaks about the blessing of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ say in John chapter 7? If you believe in me, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he spoke of the Spirit because the Holy Ghost had not yet come, because Jesus Christ had not yet been glorified. Well, look what it says in Romans 4, verse 25. Delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Now Paul is teaching the doctrine of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now he comes into Romans chapter 5, and for the first time he mentions something. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And for the first time in the book of Romans, all of a sudden, something new is brought up. Something new is introduced to us. It's the promise that God gave through His Son, Jesus Christ. The promise that our life would be a new life because Christ would indwell us, because God would indwell us. How? By His Spirit. And Paul says, "And this hope will not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And that's important, folks, because Paul is now beginning to speak about the Christian life. And when you read from Romans chapter 5 on, you come to chapter 6, and what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And from Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7, Paul is saying, well, how? How can I live this life? Well, you know, Paul's looking in the mirror. He says, this is me. You look in the mirror. I look in the mirror and say, this is me. How is it possible for me, or look at yourself, how is it possible for any one of us to really live a holy life? And Paul is going through this. And you come down to chapter 7 and verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in chapter 8, and we're going to come back to chapter 8 in a moment, but in chapter 8, the whole chapter that speaks about victory, the whole chapter that speaks about the victorious Christian life focuses on the Spirit of God, the Spirit. And so he's teaching again about the Spirit, that it's God's Spirit. But when he's finished teaching about the doctrine of the Spirit, go over to Romans chapter 9. What's the first thing he says? Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You come down to chapter 14, and look what he says. In chapter 14, look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And from Romans 5 to Romans 9 to Romans 14 to Romans 15, Paul over and over again reminds us and teaches us that the difference is that the Spirit of God indwells us. The Holy Ghost lives within us. That's why Paul is able to say in Galatians, Christ liveth in me. And so second of all, not only do we have the promise that God has given to us, and that promise is fulfilled by the presence of the Holy Ghost, but in Romans chapter 15, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, in John, we won't turn back there for sake of time, but in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus Christ promised. He promised the Comforter. He promised that Comforter would be the Holy Ghost indwelling us, living within us. And he said this. He says, peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I do. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, my peace. How does that peace come to us? Through the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. In John chapter 15, he goes on, and he says, abide in me, and my words abide in you. And he speaks about his joy, that his joy would be in us, that his joy would reign in us, that his joy would be full. How does that joy come to us? Through the Holy Ghost. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Romans 14, what does it say? It says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in who? The Holy Ghost. What does it say in Romans 15? The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. But my third point is this, it's all through the power or the effectual working of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God in us. So that's why you go back to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, because Romans chapter 8 speaks about the power of the Spirit of God, that Paul says, this Spirit, the Spirit of God, indwells you as the Holy Ghost. And this is the power that changes your life. This is the person that changes your life. And then through the power of the Holy Ghost, the result is, guess what? Our hearts are flooded, abounding, not only with hope, but with joy and peace. Hey, folks, listen to me. That's why there's hope for every one of us. That's why there's hope for every one of us. Because Christ lives within us. Because of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. That's why there's hope for every one of us. Every one of us that's a child of God. Every one of us that's a believer. You might look around and say, I don't know, Pastor. And I'll tell you what, I look at the Bible and say, I do know. Right? Right? It's not because of you, it's because of the Holy Ghost that indwells us. That's what makes a difference. That's what's making the difference in the lives of these young people. Parents, hang on to that. Right? As you struggle with your little one. Right? Hang on to that. Well, praise God, the Holy Ghost is in that kid. Because there's hope. Right? Someone say amen. All right? Because you know what? If you look at your kid, he needs the Holy Ghost. She needs the Holy Ghost within her. Right? Or else she'll turn out just like... Anyways, moving on. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. We could look at. I'm not going to read through the whole chapter. But there is that, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Romans 14, I got to just say it again. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That the righteousness of the law might be filled in us, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after this flesh do mind the things of this flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now remember, the emphasis in Romans chapter 8 is on the Spirit of God. But it says the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Check out verse number 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. There's the key. You want to talk about the power of the Holy Ghost that dwells in you? It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And just go down to verse number 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But it speaks about the power of the Spirit that indwells in. It says the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the grave, is the Holy Ghost that indwells us. That's why, go to one more passage, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You're kind of getting a whole lesson on one aspect of the Holy Spirit this morning. Which if you went to college, they'd probably take about 6 weeks to go through this. We'll just cover it in half an hour. Because Ephesians chapter, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Now this gets exciting. This is, you talk about hope. You talk about hope in your life, in your personal life. Right? All right.
I will.
I'm just excited. Look at verse number 14, chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Notice the emphasis there again. Paul's saying it's by his Spirit, not your Spirit, his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? According to the power that worketh in us. I think by now you probably know who that power is, right? I mean, if I gave a quiz right now and there was one question and it says, who is the power that worketh in us? I hope you'd all say the Holy Ghost, right? Or the Holy Spirit, because that's the power that worketh in us. It's a person. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. And it says he is able to do exceeding abundantly. Think about that. Above all that we ask or think. You know, I can pray and say, Lord, you need to do something in this area of my life. And I'm not giving you any clues. But I can pray and I can say, Lord, please, you need to change this area of my life. And God says, I can change it. And I can change it more than you can ever imagine. And he says, you know how? Through me living in you, through Christ living in you, through the Holy Ghost living in you. Because God says, listen, if that Spirit that indwells you, the Holy Spirit, raised up Jesus from the grave, think of what I can do in your life. That's why Romans 15, listen, it's so encouraging. It's encouraging me. It ought to be encouraging you. The God of hope. The God of hope. The God of hope, right? The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's our God. He says, I'm a God of hope. And he says, I want to fill you with hope. I want to fill you with joy. I want to fill you with peace. I want to fill you with hope. And he says, I'm going to do it through my presence, Christ living in you, the Holy Ghost. Let's pray.